Well, let me invite you to turn. We've got two passages, one verse in 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 9, and then from Luke chapter 12. And I'm Michael McCaulty, assistant pastor of Outreach and Mercy, and today we're going to look at mercy. To give mercy is a way to model God's character. We're like God when we're merciful, but we can only be merciful to others as we receive God's mercy for ourselves. As you experience God seeing you in your need, receive from Him, then you will respond in both repentance, turning to Him, and faith-filled acts of giving. So when it comes to mercy, repentance and faith, just like so much in the Christian life, are the keys to unlocking our fleshly tendency just to be stingy and to be self-protective and to keep God's blessings to ourselves. Let's start with 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 9. For if you return to the Lord, your brothers and your children will find compassion with their captors and return to this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful and will not turn away his face from you if you return to him. And then from Luke chapter 12, Jesus says in verse 32, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." May God bless the reading, hearing, and teaching of His holy word. So mercy is a way to model God, to reflect His character, and we can only be merciful as we are experiencing His mercy. So we'll look at this in these three headings. It's a call to repentance, a call to receive, and a call to give. First, the call to repentance. That's out of that verse in 2 Chronicles. Chronicles gives 400 years of the history of Israel and Judah, giving the accounts of various kings, both good and evil. And over, the people prove that they are unable to keep God's commands, that they are unable to revere Him as they should, to reflect His holiness. And yet God, in His mercy, over and over, provides a way back to right relationship with Him. And this passage in 2 Chronicles 30 takes place during the reign of King Hezekiah of Judah. And he is a righteous king. He restores worship at the temple. He revives the celebration of the Passover. And here, in this verse, he invites the people to believe and to act upon the promises of God. Failing to keep the Passover. See how far off they had gone? Can you imagine a Christian church just forgetting to celebrate Easter? You know, as if it's just another day, the resurrection didn't really happen or is not worth celebrating. And so Hezekiah is a restorer, a healer, a king who longs to bring life to his kingdom. And so he says, do not be stiff-necked, that Old Testament phrase of stubbornness. Don't be stubborn. Don't be faithless. Believe God. Take Him at His word. If you return to the Lord, His wrath will be removed from you. He will restore you to right relationship with Him and with the land. And so the call to repentance is a call to believe a promise. Repentance then is an action. It is a turning, but underneath the action is a heart turning. Okay? The turn of the heart motive. Because if, the if is a big if you return to Him, He will do this. True repentance requires faith, believing that there is good news outside of myself, outside of me just demonstrating that I can do it, I can turn to Him. No, it's turning to Him fully, completely, abandoning anything within yourself. Returning to God with no strings attached. Many of you remember the story that Jesus tells of the two lost sons. Comes down to us as the parable of the prodigal son, but really there's two lost sons, the younger brother and the older brother. But consider the younger brother. Tim Keller helped me understand that the younger brother is returning to his father, but not all the way. He prepares a speech, right? He comes to his senses, remembers his father, has all these resources, prepares this speech that he's going to go back and say the right words, and he's going to say, just hire me. Just hire me back as one of your farmhands. What's he thinking? He's thinking that he can make it about him again. He turned away from his father, ran away, made a big mess of his life, but he thinks that he can come back and make it right again on his own. I can work for my father's approval. I can do it. I can earn back his acceptance. That is not an all the way returning to the Lord. Okay? Because there's something in it that falls back on myself. Well, if this doesn't work out, I've got some resources within me. I've never personally faced addiction, but oftentimes dealing with addiction is such a deeply, deeply entrenched, very hard to turn away completely from myself. There's a song written by Trent Reznor. It's called Hurt, and he's dealing with his own personal addiction and what he had gone through, and he knows he's made a mess of his life and a wreck of things, and he's dealing with all these consequences, and it's hurt him and hurt others. But at the end of the song, if I could start again a million miles away, I will keep myself. I would find a way. And that touches something in our flesh. The stubborn, stiff-neckedness of our flesh. That even if I make a radical, ridiculous, horrible mess of things, I've still got something in me. I can still fix this. I will find a way. Self-centered determination. But you know in Luke 15, right? His father wouldn't have it. He interrupts this prepared speech, and he says, no, you're not going to work for me to earn back my acceptance. Get the robe, get my ring, get some sandals. Let's throw a huge party. My son has come home, and I welcome him home. See, can you receive that? Can you receive? Are you poor enough to receive? Jesus starts out his ministry. The Sermon on the Mount, the very first thing he says, are you really interested in following me? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's the first requirement for following Jesus, the first requirement for getting into heaven, the first requirement for anything in your life that is bad becoming right again. I am poor. I have nothing. I am nothing. This is the only way you will ever truly return all the way to the Lord. Facing your own powerlessness. Then you can receive. Okay. So in this passage in Luke 12, in this section leading up to these verses, Jesus has given some strong teaching on hell, on fear, on anxiety. He has told this parable about the rich fool who has so much stuff that he builds bigger barns to keep it in, and guess what? You're going to die tonight, and then who's going to get all your stuff? And then he says, "Fear not, little flock." Can you receive a there now, it'll be okay? Does it feel kind of nursery schoolish? You know, like that's for toddlers who stumble and fall and scrape their knee, and then they come up with these big tears on their face, and their parents run up to them, and they comfort them, and there, it'll be okay. Because there's a bit of this in me. Come on, Jesus. I'm a man. I mean, you made me a man. You made me to be strong. I've got this. You know, I can handle life. I know life throws a lot of hard things, but I can do it. I can make it on my own. So I have to constantly come back to the truth that I really am poor. I really am nothing in and of myself. And so the call to receive is first this, that I'm like a little toddler who falls down all the time and gets hurt. Circumstances are always changing. The world is always shifting. I know nothing that's going to happen 5 seconds from now, much less the rest of my life. But then look at Jesus' 401k plan. Look at his investment strategy. See, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The kingdom. Just to receive this from him. That this is the treasure that he gives you. If you can receive it. Whereas the call to repentance is the call to embrace our own poverty. The call to receive is the call to embrace our extravagant riches that God gives us in Christ. I think this is a real weakness. It has been in my life. Of being able to grasp the riches that God has given us and that he will give us. The call to receive from God says that God delights in giving extravagantly to those who will just receive it from him. One year at Christmas time, my kids were really little, and I had this plan, and some stuff started arriving at our house and dropped off on the back of the driveway, and it was big pieces of wood, and one of the pieces of wood looked like a ladder, and so the kids started asking, "Daddy, what is that in the driveway? What are these men bringing?" And I had a vegetable garden in the backyard, so I was like, "Oh, that's just some piece of wood. I'm going to build a garden arbor." "Oh, okay, Daddy. I'm going to grow some vines, you know, up it and be part of the garden." Well, one day before dawn, me and a friend got up. It was cold. It was raining. My fingers were freezing. And that swing set had, 40 million parts to it, with little tiny screws and stuff. And yet I endured, I persevered through the pain because I knew the look on my kid's face was just going to give me so much joy. Oh, Daddy, you made a swing set! Run down to the backyard. Why did you lie to us? So that I could see the look on your face, so that I could enjoy that and take that in, see, and delight in giving you this gift. See? No, I can imagine what God has prepared for those who love Him. And it is the Father's delight to see you delighting in Him. In such extravagance. God, you're going to give me, you have given me, I have it, the kingdom. And yes, of course, we see the cost. Jesus is saying these words, right, knowing that He's going to purchase the kingdom for us by His own suffering, His own death in our place. But He does it for the sake of giving this gift. And being able to rejoice with us. See, life and pleasures forever. So the call to receive is the call to see this. I am rich. I have everything. I am a royal. I'm a son. I'm a daughter of the king. I have everything that Christ has. He has purchased it for me. And I just receive it and glory in Him. So as you know what you've received and you will receive, then you can have ears open for this call to give. Okay. Last, this call to give. If you have everything, then giving it away is a treasure to you. That's where Jesus is going. Because he says, sell your possessions and give to the needy. Now tell your flesh to be quiet and listen for the Spirit, because it is counterintuitive. The call of the gospel. Self-denial now. Stupendously huge rewards in the future. So that you disadvantage yourself now for the sake of advantaging others. And those who have received and are receiving mercy, they overflow. It's supernatural. They overflow in giving mercy to others. Now, what is this giving that Jesus is talking about? He uses the word possessions. Okay. Jesus is giving us strong medicine to fight hard against the god of consumeristic accumulation. Okay? That's the air that we all breathe. So selling involves giving away what is yours. Possessions. I possess these things. Okay? Possessions are things that you determine, humanly speaking, what happens to them. Okay? I can possess them or I can give them away. And what's underneath possessions? Possessions represent abundance. Okay. And if you have abundance, then what do you have? What does that give you? Safety, security, significance, enjoyment, peace. Jesus is saying, look at what you have, everything, the kingdom, everything in abundance. Therefore, what God has given you to be a good steward of, you can give away. Because in your soul, in your spirit, you have everything that possessions represent. You have security. You have significance. You have safety. You have enjoyment. You have peace that comes from being in the kingdom. See? Receiving all that the kingdom is. And for application purposes, possessions are not just things, material things, but time, thoughts, energy, effort. Okay, I possess these things too. I had a conversation with a friend last week, and they were telling me that they realized that they had to stop watching this show on TV. Not because it was anything morally wrong with it, but because they found that their thoughts were occupied with this show. It was dominating what they were thinking about. What happened, and why did that happen, and what's going to happen next, and when am I going to get time to... Time. When am I going to find time to watch it next? So they just stopped watching it entirely. Okay. So an application of this is giving away of your time. See? There are some things that you are gifted in that you're able to do that take a very little bit of time. But there are other people that don't have those same gifts, and it takes them years or whatever, a long amount of time to do what for you is a short amount of time. But if you could partner your time to help them in their situation, that's a giving away of yourself. It's an act of mercy, giving of your time to help someone else who's really struggling with your time. Now, that's not all of it, of course. Jesus says, sell your possessions. He's talking about monetary things. But in our culture, in our time is super valuable to us. So if you will look in your bulletin, there's an insert about the mercy team. And the mercy team, as an arm of the diaconate, has decided to open up to the whole congregation more members of the mercy team. We now have a leadership team that's smaller, that meets monthly, that makes decisions, but we could use more hands, more feet involved in various aspects of mercy ministry within our church as an outreach into the community and into Fairfield. And mercy ministry is just a picture of the kindness and compassion of God. Mercy ministry in and of itself is a call to repentance. We call people to turn away from self-reliance and receive help in the name of Jesus. We're nothing. We don't have a name to glorify of ourselves, but we do this in the name of Christ. So if you're interested in considering that, talk to one of the members of the Mercy team, and you're welcome to, you know, of course, fill this out and leave it at your seat or put it in the offering plate. And somebody asked me, what if I just want to give money? Well, of course, Jesus said, sell your possessions. So you're welcome to just give money. We have a Diaconal Ministries designated fund as well as a fund within the general fund. You're welcome to give in that way too. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, thank you for your initiating mercy to us, giving us these beautiful promises that if we would return to you, you will heal and restore. Oh, God, grant such grace to people here that have not yet returned all the way to Jesus, abandoning themselves and their own potential ways that they can fix things. And, oh God, prove again that you alone are the healer, the restorer. And raise up people, God, who humbly, as receivers of mercy ourselves, are eager to come alongside, partner with others, not fix anything, but come alongside and love people well, pointing them to Jesus and your healing power. We trust in you. Help us to trust you all the more and give unto you all that you have given to us. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.